Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests are rocker Pepe Castro and celebrity makeup artist Marianne Morrison. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be on Friday, September 24th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Hudson Terrace, a great outdoor space with a view of the Hudson River. It's located at 621 West 46th Street. It will be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show is a group on Facebook that contains links to previous shows as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, we are now going to bring on our two guests who I believe have met prior to tonight's show. Is this correct?
Yes, it is.
Speak into the microphone, Pepe.
We have an incestuous relationship.
So this is your sister, your aunt. What's going on here?
I'm his daughter.
Ah. Okay.
Major girlfriend.
He was supposed to say that, by the way. Okay. So
no, other people who meet us say, is that your daughter? No.
Right. Well, for those of you who do not know, Pepe Castro was in a legendary rock band called the Blues Magoos and a couple of bands after that. And Marianne is a celebrity makeup artist, so we'll be getting into both of those areas. But Pepe, first, let's start with you, age before beauty or whatever we're supposed to say. So
that works.
How old, speaking of age, how old were you when you started playing? Because I'm always interested in that.
I was 14.
14.
14 in the first... The beginning of the Magoos was 14.
Okay.
Living in Greenwich Village.
Were you living with your family there? Or?
I was living with my bandmates.
How did
at,
that...
At the infamous Albert Hotel.
So you kind of like...
I booked.
You left home and were playing in rock bands. How did this affect your schooling growing up?
Were you? Well, it made my schooling null and void. It was, you know what happened? I'd always loved music my whole life. And one day, a friend of mine taught me how to play a guitar chord on his guitar. And I'd always loved to sing my whole life, ever since I can remember. And when I learned that first chord, it was like somebody just zippered the sky open. And I was like, oh, my God, I can not only sing, I can accompany myself. And I was like, you know, my first major aha moment in life. And after that, nothing else mattered. Not school or anything, just the passion of music.
So. Now, did they give you a hard time not going to school at 14?
Yeah. I had a glorious truant officer who found me one day, and to make a long story short, he was impressed that I was in a rock and roll band at 14, playing four sets a night, six nights a week at the Night Owl Cafe in the Village, and he forged my birth certificate so that I would... On my next birthday, which was going to be 15, he forged it so that I was 16. And back then, if you were 16 years old, you could get legally signed out if your parents signed off on it. And my parent did. So really, I legally got signed out of the public school system in New York City when I was 15.
So. We need more public servants like this. By the way, the statute of limitations is not up on that. So I might make a few calls.
Well, I'm ready to go back now.
Are you?
I can teach them a few things.
You look cute sitting in gym class. You do well at volleyball, I think, at this point.
I dressed up as Richard Simmons yesterday for Marianne.
Okay,
we had a good time.
Marianne, how did you two meet? How did you meet this fellow?
I met Pepe actually at a concert.
One of his, or just?
It was his concert. Yeah, it was a Barnaby Bye reunion concert. And okay.
Now, Barnaby Bye is obviously one of the bands you've been talking about. That we all met in the Broadway cast of Hair in 1970, and after that, we all met, and we decided to start a rock band.
You mean you met
Hair.
The Barnaby Bye guys?
Yeah, which is Billy and Bobby Alessi, the Alessi brothers, and a guy named Mike Riccadella, who back then was the drummer for an infamous band called The Illusion. And we decided to get back together after 30-something years and have a reunion concert. Take it away, honey.
Well, my sisters were big fans, and I was a little younger, so I couldn't go to the clubs to listen to them play. And they were doing a reunion concert, and my sister emailed us and blasted us and said, "You're not going to believe it, Barnaby Bye is having a reunion concert." And so I bought all the tickets, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So were you familiar with the Magoos before you met Pepe, or was this before your time?
No, I wasn't familiar with the Magoos. I knew Mr. Magoo.
Yes. Well, this would be with Mr. Magoo, wouldn't it?
I think that's who hello, Jim.
This is updated.
You were the main Magoo, were you not?
I was one of, well, yeah, I was one of two main Magoos, yeah. I would say that Ralph Scaller and I were pretty much the vocal sound of the band.
But was he there the whole time? I thought at some point they left and you were like the only main Magoo.
Yeah, actually after three albums with the original band, I carried on the name and did two more albums under the name Blues Magoos and did like a Latin rock kind of thing back then.
Really?
And, okay. Yeah. And but now after 43 years, we're actually back together again. Not many people know this, but we are reuniting as well. And it's 43 years later, and we have a new record we're working on called Psychedelic Resurrection.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Psychedelic Erection. I mean Resurrection.
Oh, thank you.
I read that you guys
See,
were
she's
the,
right on cue.
I read that you guys were the first ones to actually put psychedelic on a record jacket. Is this
true?
We
really, really were the cornerstone of the psychedelic music genre, especially on the East Coast. And we were probably the first rock band to have a commercial success being labeled as a psychedelic rock and roll band. Absolutely.
And I want to know, do you still drink or anything? I mean, are you still...
No, I only do acid.
Okay, because I'm very disappointed. I've met a lot of rock stars this summer, and no one does anything anymore.
Actually, Pepe never drank.
No, really? I never drank. Well, what happened was
I'm having a hard time getting drunk with any rock stars, and no one drinks anymore. What's going on?
Well, you know what happened to me? When I was 13 and just starting to play, the Blues Magoos were then called the Trenchcoats. And Ronnie Gilbert, who was the original bass player of the Blues Magoos.
Did you do a lot of shows on 42nd Street, or how did that name
No, no, what happened was
in the park.
Yeah, he was in a movie called Putney Swope. You had to see that movie. It was Sonny Williams.
Did the drummer in the trench coats have a hard time staying in the pocket? Or
yeah, right. That's good. That's good.
That's all off the top of my head. Sure. All original material.
But my drinking days ended because when I was 13, we got a gig at the infamous Raleigh Hotel, which was like the Jewish Borscht Belt up there. And we'd play for the children of the Blue Hairs. You know, they'd go up there on the holidays. And Ronnie was turning 18. I was like turning 14. And he made me chug-a-lug an 8-ounce glass of vodka. And say no more. I never drank after that.
Really?
So I drink for him.
You live vicariously through her alcohol abuse. Is this true?
I live vicariously in her. Forget about for her.
So you're really into your girlfriend, is what you're saying.
Yes, okay. We have, like I said,
a very deep relationship. How deep exactly?
My daughter's a guest.
You know, I actually have a career.
Okay, well, speaking of which, okay, so we're going to get into some of the other stuff you
no,
do
honey,
besides.
You had a career.
We're gonna get Pepe Castro just annihilated my career.
We're going to get into what you do besides Pepe Castro.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A brief moment of silence for my girlfriend's career. So,
my son's not listening.
So now, what is the background required for a makeup artist? Like, I've had them on the show before, but I'm interested in this. What did you do did you makeup well in high school, or what happened?
No, I actually went to college to be an English teacher. So I'm a college-educated woman.
Okay.
But I took some time and I studied in Paris and I had to work while I was there and I started working with L'Oreal. and found myself in the makeup room constantly, and I had a passion for it. And then I disappointed my father upon graduation and moved straight to Manhattan and decided to become a makeup artist.
You disappointed your father, so you had to disguise yourself, basically.
I do it every day.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Puts a representative on as Chris
Rock.
He's
still looking for me.
So, you're a professional. What could be done for a guy like me? Could I be made to look respectable in some way?
Yeah, sure. You got a credit card?
Surgery.
So you could make my credit card look like it's over the limit, basically.
I could do whatever you want.
Okay. That's what I like to hear from a woman. I'm just back from Vegas. I've heard that a lot, by the way. Anyway, so you've worked with a lot of celebrities, is what I hear. So
yes,
tell us some good stories. We need stuff.
Well, since this is a music show,
yes.
I have a great James Brown story.
We like that.
I was working as a makeup artist on the Rolanda show. Remember Rolanda Watts?
I do.
And that was my first network show. And in comes James Brown, and I am, like, all excited. I can't believe they have James Brown, and they put him in my chair. And he starts talking to me. And he's going, rana. And I couldn't understand a word the man was saying to me. And he kept talking to me, and I kept saying, yes, sir, yes, James, yes, yes. And after the show,
are you doing James Brown cover songs?
No, I'm doing Marianne Morrison doing James Brown.
Okay, that's a first here, folks. You've
I
never
thought
heard
it was
that
James
before.
Earl Jones. Anyway, so after the show, I was packing up, ready to go home, and his tour manager comes in and this fedora hat and this long camel coat and says, "James is waiting for you outside in his limo." And I said, "Why is he waiting for me outside in his limo?" And he said, "Well, James Brown asked you out," and you said, "Yes."
And you agreed to
And
it.
I had no idea.
So how long?
I couldn't understand the guy.
How long did you two date?
We didn't date. I got myself on the Long Island Railroad and went straight home because I'm a professional.
But decoded. Come out and hit me in the car.
All young budding makeup artists just know what someone is saying to you.
Okay, well, I actually have a bone to pick with makeup artists because I did the Tyra Banks show. And I have to tell you, there were 2 days. There was one day on Chelsea Piers where, you know, there's no real makeup. And then when they actually brought us in the and I looked great. And then they brought us in the studio, and they made me up like a mummy. What's with that?
Well,
why did they overmake me up?
In those days, there was no HDTV.
Those days, this is 2 days. This is like 2 years ago.
2 years ago, they probably weren't taping in HDTV. So they put on a lot of makeup to give you color. Now they airbrush all the makeup
artists. Made me look white, though, like a mummy.
Well, you are a white guy, you know.
Did they
Can
not
you
know?
Dance?
Not in all that makeup.
Well, they washed you out. They airbrushed. They like took the wrinkles away.
They didn't give you enough bronze or star.
They made
Andy.
Me look 100 years older than I was. I don't know what they were doing.
They botoxed you with makeup.
They blinded me with science, basically, is what you're saying. So
pretty much.
Okay, we got a good story from her. Tell us something exciting. I know you toured with The Who and the Herman's Hermits, which is an amazing combination.
You know, that was,
have anything
that was,
from that?
That was an amazing tour. That was an infamous tour in 1968. We went out for the whole summer of 1968. It was the Blues Magoos, The Who, and Herman's Hermits. And so pretty much that tour was Keith Moon's breeding ground for destruction. You know, so I was like the last guy on the tour that would still go out with him at night. And then finally, I couldn't even do it anymore because, you know.
And you didn't drink. How could that be? Did he drink for you?
But it didn't matter, you know. I was kind of like in awe of him a little bit because I loved how he trashed everything.
I know what it was. You guys went to places where you had to get a 2-drink minimum, and he just had 4 drinks.
No, listen. We checked in to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and at that time, we were all on, like, a huge aircraft. And the whole tour was on there. The Sylvaneer guys, all 3 bands, everything went on this thing. So we flew everywhere, all over the United States for the whole summer, right? So when we had to check into a hotel, there was like, you know, 50 people that had to be checked in. So it took forever. So we get into Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Moon goes, "Come on, man, come on, let's go to the bar across the street." So I'm like, whoa,
you make
whoa.
Him sound like James Brown.
So, okay. So I go across the street. Now it's 1968 in Deep South, and we go across the street in this bar, and the minute he and I walk in, the whole bar of around 30 guys, like, turns around and looks at us, and you can hear a pin drop. And one guy in the bar goes, "Y'all get a look at the 2 fairies in the door." And Keith Moon walks over to the bar, picks up a bar stool, and smashes it over the guy's back. Within 5 minutes, all 30 guys are beating the living daylights out of us. I left the place with like 50 scratches and claw marks all over my shirt was my jacket was completely ripped off. I ran over to the lobby of the hotel. I said, "You better go get him. He's getting his ass kicked over there." But that's how crazy it was.
The amazing part of the story is that we found out that Southern tough guys scratch in a fight.
Yeah, well, when 30 guys are going after you, no one's really getting a shot in. They're just all trying to grab and pull at you. So
okay.
That's it. So I was lucky I got out.
All right, but and yes, you still look beautiful. Don't worry about it.
I'm still rocking.
Well, thanks to me.
Okay, well, the makeup artist, speaking of which, so...
See, when I go home at night and the eyelashes come off and I pull out the false eyes and the teeth come out, it's a whole different story.
So how did the Magoos get together, by the way?
The Magoos have been getting together for the last 40 years. It's that kind of thing, you know. Everybody's always been asking, when are the Magoos going to get back? When are the Magoos going to get back? And really what happened, I think, with Hippie Fest and all these things coming around and everything, and the fact that, you know, now it's like a childhood love. It's like going back to your first love. You know, you go back and this was our childhood. I mean, I was 17, 18, 19 years old, you know. I was a has-been by 19 when I look back on it, you know. And so I'd been through that whole thing. And I think we all went back and looked and said, you know, we had such a great time. Let's just go back, because it's not about money at this age. I mean, we're all retired. We've had our careers and everything else. But it's the fun of going back and stepping back into that time. And knowing that there are still people out there that really love the Magoos, you know. The Magoos were like they were kind of like a serious Fugs almost, you know.
I was somewhat of a Magoo guy.
We were comedic. We didn't take ourselves too serious. I mean, Albert Common is Dead was acid, you know. Love Seems Doomed was LSD. I mean, we did these little things just out of fun, you know. And Albert Common was a guy named Albie Gluten, who was a branch manager at a bank. And he loved us. And we told him if he dropped out and grew his hair long, we'd write him a song. And he quit his job as a bank manager, and he did it, and we wrote him Albert Common is Dead.
All right, I'm growing my hair during the commercial break we're taking, and when we get back, Pepe will sing you some of the song he's writing about me.
I'll play it through modern technology of my laptop. We ain't got nothing yet, the Big Blues Magoos hit.
We will hear the Big Blues Magoos hit, and we will also hear about Marianne's Emmy nomination, which will be very exciting. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tommy Pryor from the show Yorkville Stoops to Nuts. You're listening to the Chantani Broadcasting Network, high definition digital radio, broadcasting to the world.
Do you love jazz? Many people do. Hearing a good jazz player is very exciting. Seeing a virtuoso play is unbelievable. You can do both when you buy the new Larry Luger CD, The Larry Luger Trio on Sexton Records. Larry's an amazing guitar player, composer, and performer. His new CD on the Sexton Records label, The Larry Luger Trio, is outstanding in its live performance and its wonderful compositions. You can also see Larry live at Notaro, a wonderful restaurant on Tuesday nights on 2nd Avenue between 34th and 35th Street, and at Saks in Astoria. Check out Larry Luger, the Larry Luger Trio, the new album on Sexton Records, that's C-E-X-T-O-N, at www.sexton.com, and check out Larry Luger at LarryLuger.com. Larry Luger, jazz guitar virtuoso.
Okay. Not okay. We're back, I think.
We're front.
Okay. Well, so they were squabbling, I have to say, this couple during the break. I think there was a breakup imminent. So,
yeah, Marianne left me. She's off the show.
Marianne, will you be getting out your toolkit and doing and having some makeup sex?
I'm going to do the great disappearing Pepe Castro act.
I would like to see some actual makeup sex.
Actually, well, you know, I call her Mo. All her friends call her Maz and Mayor and all the stuff. I call her Mo for Morrison, I guess, Mo. But, she just did Good Day New York a few days ago and did a three-minute makeover challenge.
I saw that.
She was, like, awesome.
I picked up a lot of it.
She was like me on speed.
I'm now doing my makeup at red lights after seeing that show.
I never saw her go so fast. She was like,
girls got to do what a girl's got to do.
They were going, look at her go. She was
like, so, I believe you were nominated for an Emmy. Is this correct? I want to hear about this.
I was nominated for an Emmy. The makeup team was nominated for an Emmy for the Chris Rock show, and we were very honored to be nominated, but we always lost because Tracy Ullman was our competitive makeup department issue, and they did a lot of prosthetics and a lot of real makeup, and we just did fun comedy sketch stuff.
All right. I have an announcement to make in this relationship.
Is the FCC involved?
I know Ms. Morrison for 4 years. She's my goyal. She's the best, right?
What were you doing robbing the cradle?
For 4 years...
I've resurrected him.
For 4 years, I've been hearing... Well, listen, I'm Emmy nominated. So now, it's like 4 months ago, and I'm going through some old stuff in my house. Actually, my son broke one of my old dressers. And I'm like, oh, now I got to take everything out of the dresser. And lo and behold, I'm going through all my old memorabilia in this thing, and I pick up this thing, like Emmy nominations, and I look in there, and I realize I got nominated for an Emmy.
Right.
For sports music for CBS that I did for college basketball. I got nominated. I called her up and go, honey, you're not going to believe this. You're not the only Emmy-nominated person in this relationship. So we're two Emmy-nominated.
We're both Geminis, so if we don't do things equally, it's just not going to work.
So if he gets a Grammy, are you going to try to get one then?
Absolutely. I'm going to be singing the three-minute makeover like it's no one's business.
At this rate, I'm going to get a granny.
That would be an interesting
She's already award. Starting to call me G-Pa.
So you're saying you're getting
older?
No,
he's not that much older than me.
So
he just looks it.
Are you trying to say you haven't already had a granny?
She's just on candy, you know what I mean? Let's face it. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was wondering if you'd already had a granny. You've got some groupies.
No, you know, I didn't. You know, I've had this kind of great varied career that I've been very happy with. A lot of people look at me and go like, you know, like a lot of my diehard friends are like, man, you should have been so much more successful. You're so talented, which is nice to hear.
But this keeps you in a lower tax bracket, basically.
But really, you know what? Well, actually, my jingle career didn't keep me in a lower tax bracket. That was kind of nice.
This guy's a successful jingle writer. Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. Well, I did it for 20 years in New York, and I got bested in a Screen Actors Guild. And after 20, I said, I'm done. That's good. I hit my mark. I did it. That's good. I'm one of the few musicians with a nice pension. And so so I booked from it just to go back to more things that I love. But really, you know, one of the things I always felt when I was young, I didn't want to have to be playing We Ain't Got Nothing Yet for 40 years, you know.
And 40 years later, he's playing it.
And become, no, for 40 years
So
later.
The one thing you really cared about, you failed at. Isn't that really kind of sad?
40 years later, now I'm going back to it. But, you know, because now it's fun to do again, you know.
So you don't like anything after 40 years. Yeah. Keep that in mind, man.
I'm out. That's it.
So when you hit your early 50s, you'll be gone.
I'm already there.
She's No,
I'm not. Yeah, no. I'm past That's 40, a, though.
Yeah, she's fortified.
I'm fortified.
She's fortified.
Lots of makeup going on here.
She's fortified. Without the makeup, she's fortified.
With vitamins and minerals and
That's
essential
me.
Nutrients?
With makeup on, she's 63.
Oh. Okay, so you're not the only one who looks older with makeup. I mean, I'm not the only one. I'm sorry.
No, you're not the only one. I look fabulous without makeup.
Okay, so you also, tell us about your business. You have this cosmetics thing
I
going.
I do. I
Natural
have
cosmetics.
A company called Natural Style Cosmetics, and I have...
Hock the merch, honey.
Yeah. And I have a fabulous boutique in Huntington, Long Island, and we do airbrush makeup, we do spray-on tans, and I have a wonderful concealer, which I featured on Good Day New York, which will get any woman's face looking younger in minutes.
Yeah, and
www.naturalstylecosmetics.com is my website. You can look at some of my videos. I've been on Good Day New York. I do a TV show called Live It Up. I give you all my tips.
If people come down, will they be able to meet you in person if people want to meet celebrities?
Of course. Absolutely.
Okay. I've met you, and I'm very excited.
You can go online and actually see what a 69-year-old woman looks like with good makeup.
Okay. Now, we are going to hear...
Hi, Mom.
We are going to hear this song now that made you famous.
Oh, you want to hear that? Okay,
and then we're going to talk about the 60s.
Right,
Not Marianne in her 60s.
No, that's good. No, she wasn't
down
there.
Down the road, but...
You know, they say, you remember the 60s, you weren't there? Well, she just wasn't there, period.
I was a 70s girl.
Were you?
Spandex and all.
Okay, sure. This is the Blues Magoose. We ain't got nothing yet. I still see a $1.380 off of this stuff, which is amazing.
This reached number five, correct?
It hit number five in cash in Billboard. I think it hit number two in Cashbox and stuff. Anyway, it took me around the world a few times, so I can't complain. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
You are listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network, CENTANNI Broadcasting.com, in high definition digital stereo.
Okay, the feedback is pouring in. Someone wrote nice website.
Oh, Oh, thank you very much.
I think they were talking about mine. But no, okay. And someone also wrote that they want the concealer.
Excellent.
Do you have a good concealer on?
I have the best concealer
the
out
best.
There.
Okay. Because I have a lot to hide.
And I have a lot to tell.
Okay. So, Pepe, tell us some good 60s stuff. What was it like playing in New York City in the 60s? That must have been wild.
The Village was like on fire. The place was great.
Literally, probably.
Yeah, no, well it was, yeah, actually there was a lot of riots going on back in the 60s, so, you know, we had a lot of action down in the Village going on. And everything was so new, you know, it was great because it was like the British invasion. So every week there was another British band coming in New York, and there was only a handful, you know, between the Stones and the Animals and different things. I mean, really, back in those days, the Magoos were in the Night Owl. Jimi Hendrix was around the corner as Jimmy James and the Blue Flame in the Café Wah. He would come in and jam with us on Sunday afternoons. And then, you know, his whole career came out of there. Love and Spoonful came out of there. A lot of bands came out of it. It was like the place to be if you were any of the New York groups that were going to be part of the scene that was going on in the United States. And really, the Magoos, like I said, they were really the cornerstone. And actually what happened was we had just bought a brand new Echoplex, which is like a tape delay system, you know, that Les Paul invented and stuff. And we were on, and we had brought it in the Night Owl, and we were using it. And we had just bought it, and it fell off of the piano. And when we plugged it back on, it started feeding back and going, wah, 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 wah. And we went, oh, my God, what do we do? So we moved the tape selector. And when we moved the tape selector, it went, wah, 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 and started making all these sounds. And we were like going, well, that's really trippy. And we actually incorporated it as, like, part of the band. And that's really what started us off on being crazy psychedelic band. We just really got into that stuff, and we went down that whole road.
So you basically destroyed your equipment and created a new sound.
Basically, a mistake kind of led us into an accident led us into that whole little genre. And I mean, a lot of stuff was going on anyway in the United States, you know, between, you know, drugs and, I mean, I was, by the time the Magoos had a hit record, I was like a little crazy kid with a checkbook, you know. So if I heard there was a Lovin' or a Bein' going on in Golden Gate Park or out in L.A., I'd hop on a plane and just go out and see like 250,000 people tripping their brains off in Golden Gate Park, you know. It was crazy. And it was just great because, you know, we had a hit record, so that was like living a dream, you know. So everywhere I went, I was like a little rock and roll star. I was in all the magazines, you know, doing the American Bandstand.
Did you do Playgirl?
Did I what?
Did you do Playgirl?
Playgirl? No, I didn't.
No, oh, okay.
No. I played girls, but I didn't do Playgirl.
Oh, okay. All right. So Marianne, in your business, has the economy affected you much? Because I know it's affected a lot of people.
Actually, I built my store in this economy, and women want to look beautiful during tough economic times. So instead of buying a $500 Prada wallet, they'll buy, you know, $50 or $100 worth of makeup and make themselves look beautiful.
So what are the latest trends anyway? Are there anything new happening? Any innovations in the makeup world that we should know about?
Well, the airbrushing has really innovated the makeup world. There are kits now sold in Sephora that you can buy and put on yourself. Now I'm airbrushing blush. So false eyelashes are making a comeback. The Kim Kardashian look is really popular. Makeup is ever-changing, and it's always constant, so it's just a beautiful medium.
Now, you work with Chris Rock a lot, and I know he's got to be an interesting character. Do you have any, like, cool Chris Rock stories?
Actually, you know, Chris was just a really nice, mellow guy, wasn't a drug guy, wasn't an alkie. He just liked his rap. His show premiered a lot of rappers, so there was a lot of drugs going on in the room next to the makeup room, but Chris was never involved. He's actually pretty shy.
Really? Okay, so...
Yeah, it was a great show. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I used to run home to see it all the time. At that time, I was married. My wife passed away, and rest in peace on that one. And so, but we used to run home all the time. Oh, Chris Rock, we got to get home and see Chris Rock. And we do that. And so it's funny now that I'm with Marianne all the time, I'm going, my God, when I think you used to be doing all that makeup and I used to run home just to see the show because it was everybody's favorite show.
It was a great show to work on, too. I couldn't believe I was being paid. You know, we all had a great time. And we used to tape live to tape. So we would tape it around 5 o'clock. We'd be done by 7. They'd run it to HBO downtown, edit it, and air it by 11 o'clock. So it was pretty raw for a tape show.
Now, I'm disappointed we haven't had any wild makeup stories there from Chris Rock. We're going to have to rely on rock and roll for some wild stories.
Yeah, well, rock and roll almost
You have anything else for us?
Always has some wild stories.
Give us something crazy that went on with you.
I don't know that I want to degregate myself.
Oh, degregate.
I think, honey, you already have. Oh, no, wait, you've degregated me. Thanks.
You've been delegated to degregate, basically.
But, I mean, there's always rock and roll stories. There are tons of rock and roll stories. Let's see, something that can be clean.
Oh, we don't need clean.
Well, you know, actually, I tell you, one time in the 60s, the Magoozies just had a hit record. We were playing in Cleveland. It was the Blues Magoozies and the Jefferson Airplane, a Jefferson Starship. They were the airplane back then, you know. And that was the bill, the both of us. And I remember this was my first wake-up call into rock and roll, you know. I was, like, on stage. I remember being on stage, and I remember seeing this guy climbing over people because they were storming the stage and doing all this kind of stuff. It was, like, still Beatlemania pandemonium and stuff. And I remember seeing this guy going, whoa, this guy looks really trippy. What's he doing? And he had a Snoopy Red Baron hat on and goggles and everything else like that. And it's like he almost got to stage but didn't quite get back to the stage. But then when the show was over and we were backstage, the police came up to me and we said, we just want to let you know that guy who had the goggles, he had like a 12-inch knife. He said his name was Pepe. You stole his name and he was going to kill you. And I went, oh, okay. I was like, oh, everybody doesn't love me?
You have any other problems with any other famous Pepes, LePew or anything?
No, I've had people impersonate me. I've had people get jobs as me. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff. I mean, I wish I had a nickel for everybody that says, oh, yeah, man, this guy played in your band, right? And you know, you get that all the time. But there were a lot of Magoo stories, you know. I mean, I used to stay up all night with Pete Townsend and smoke weed and on that tour and stuff. And we do that. And in those days, we would go to parties after the show, and, like, people would just offer you drugs because they were like, that was it. You know, they worked in pharmacies, and they'd come with, like, coffee, tea, or mead canisters, you know.
Somebody
like
gave me an aspirin at a show once. That's about as...
Yeah, well, I remember one of the guys did something, I think in one of the bands, like Iron Maiden or something like that, the bass player or something like that, he turned blue and just drop dead. I mean, so
during the show.
So I never took drugs from strangers.
Really,
on the road.
Really, did that happen?
He only paid for his drugs.
Did that happen during a show? Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, all that stuff. No, after the show.
Oh, okay.
But
as long as it didn't ruin the show.
But no, okay. The Avalon Ballroom in Haight-Ashbury, you know, San Francisco, 1967 or 1968, we're playing there, and I'm on stage, and Ronnie goes like, clunk, 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 email, you know, elbows
you.
Me with his arm and says like, check it out, you know. So I walked to the back of the stage, and I looked, and some guy's screwing some girl right there, and you know, while everybody else is on acid doing tie dye and all this stuff, and it was like crazy stuff. So this stuff wasn't uncommon. It was always. Or there's a gazillion coffee table stories out there.
See, Andy, I don't kiss and tell.
Yeah, but you know, I got to keep it clean for the youngster. You know? That's all. You know,
really, but no.
I mean, I don't want to lose her on my first date.
But no, this is good. This makes good radio. Learn from this. Come up with some stories. Make stuff
right,
up.
I have stories. I'm just not going to ruin my career over them.
Yeah, you big baby.
Yeah.
All right, now
you have to wait for the book.
And one of the things that always interested me in makeup is, like, what you create is kind of very temporary. You kind of, the face is kind of a canvas, and you create a work of art, so to speak, and then they just kind of wash it off. Does that bother you at all? How do you preserve this for posterity?
It doesn't bother me at all, because once they're done, we can create another look and continue just making, I make everyone look beautiful. I love making people feel great about who they are and their image. And then I love to help women look beautifully naturally every day.
Yeah, so. she's not heavy-handed.
She creates disposable artwork, basically.
In all fairness, though, but I've seen Mo work with, dermatologists, doctors, people have skin problems, things like that, or they've been in accidents and surgeries and stuff. Like, you know, so, I mean, there is a whole spectrum to it. It's not just glamour. There is people, you know, who really want to feel better about themselves that walk around that have a deformity or something like that. And when you can take the edge off of that, a little bit, it makes them feel better.
But I do good revenge makeup. When I have a young lady or somebody in my chair who is going to a wedding or a party and they have a boyfriend who screwed their best friend and their best friend screwed them and now they're going to this party.
Go, honey, go.
I make them look better than they ever have.
Now, what if the person that doesn't like them wants real revenge makeup? What does it cost to get you to mess their makeup up? Now, that's what I call revenge makeup.
That would be the revenge of the revenge makeup.
What's the price on that?
That's a high price to pay.
Really? Okay, so I couldn't get you to mess up Pepe's makeup for me.
No, actually, you look pretty good.
I'm rather well-preserved.
Really?
If I do say so, maybe.
Without alcohol?
Without alcohol.
So that is a preservative. Keep that in mind.
You know, the acid stopped years ago. We took a few of those, and actually my... Okay, here's a... Oops, sorry, Sissy, but my last acid trip was with Sissy Spacek. Everybody be like, what?
Someone actually just wrote me and asked if you do makeovers. Assume you do, right?
Yeah, she does.
Just rollovers.
She did me.
Okay. You heard that here first, folks.
Rollovers and cheap motels.
Back to the makeup set. So that's all part of the business. That's good to know.
You can see we don't have a boring relationship. That's really.
Well, there is some boring, it sounds like, in a sense.
Never a dull moment. No, when we leave here, we won't talk to each other. That's for another week.
You will bore into her, however.
I bore into
you're
her.
You're so
much
boring.
As I can.
Don't bore me.
Well, you know, there's that whole saying that if you... I love this. My ex-wife, she had a fabulous saying. She used to tell people, if you're bored, you're boring. Which I love. When somebody tells me you're bored, I'm so freaking bored. I go, well, if you're bored, you're boring.
Okay. Let's talk about how did the Magoos break up? What went wrong with you guys? Because you sound like a fun group.
Well, yeah, it was a fun group. But you know, what happened was our second single was a record called Pipe Dream. And in those days, FM was just starting. It really didn't exist. FM radio was like not even there. So pretty much you relied on getting airplay on AM radio. And somebody like ABC Network had like syndicated ABC. So if you didn't get on ABC, you just didn't get a hit record, you know, because it was like 50, 60 stations went off your record. So the follow-up record was called Pipe Dream. And it was actually a pro... anti-drug song. It was like, you know, don't get hung up on drugs, come back to reality, you know. And so basically what happened was the ABC network on our follow-up single banned us and said, we can't play this, it's too psychedelic, refers to drugs. And at that point, I guess, the country was getting really like, uh-oh, where's the social stratosphere?
And what year was this?
68. So that got banned, and then they flipped the record. That went top 40, and then the B-side went to top 40. But then the group got the ear of like, well, these guys didn't have a follow-up hit, like a top 20. So we got the one-shot label.
You know? One-hit wonders.
And I think that was probably the beginning of the end, that it was just hard to keep that going. You know, and beating a dead horse, and there was a lot of jealousy.
So animal abuse was involved in this in some way.
There was a managerial animal abuse. You know, because back then it was like Fats Domino time, you know. I got totally ripped off like everybody else, you know. Our managers owned our publishing.
Everybody got ripped off. What is this? What kind of business was this?
Well, it's a business. And when you're a kid and you want to play music, you just want to play music and you have not a clue about the business.
Because Tommy James' label owed him, at the point he got an honest accounting, $30 to $40 million in royalties.
Yeah, yeah.
But he made money from the shows, but the actual records, he got beat.
Oh, he got
really
beat
dead.
Up. Yeah. Like I said, by the time I was 19, I had grossed $250,000 in 1967, being a 17-year-old. You know, that's an amazing amount of money. But I mean, look at what that would be today, you know, 40 years
later. And how much
later,
did that did you actually you know, get?
Well, I owed the IRS by the time I was done. Our managers, they paid everybody. They lined their pockets. They stole the money. They did this, you know. I mean, everybody got paid. Photographers got paid. Tour people got paid. The tour damage on the Who tour was extravagant. Keith Moon had a birthday party in Flint, Michigan, and the next day, the Holiday Inn ceiling in the kitchen had to be restuccoed. The glass the pool had to be drained, and all the glass had to be. See that?
I heard something about.
He heard me.
Keith
is upset.
He's trouble. So I heard something about a car getting driven into a pool.
The car got driven into a pool. Nine cars had to be repainted in the parking lot. He was out of his mind. You know, so
there was no sex.
Let's put it this way: when he drove over his chauffeur, I was not surprised.
Oh yeah, that was a wild story.
Yeah,
the chauffeur got out to protect him, and he drove over the guy.
He drove over the guy and killed him. Yeah, and you beat it. You know, so.
That's kind of. Did you have any runaway hits after that? Or?
But you know, they were a great band. I love them too.
Well, okay. So we're going to go to a commercial.
Our publicist is shaking her head.
We're going to go to.
Oh, you mean our ex-publicist, honey?
Yes.
No, all these sex stories are going to.
We have Miss Donna Dickman sitting here laughing her butt off.
Okay, we're going to go to a commercial.
And Robbie Michaels.
And when we come back, we're going to hear about his other bands because he was in a couple of other successful.
Yeah,
bands.
I have a few.
But we'll be back.
More to follow.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Knight Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Shetani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back, and we want to thank our team photographer for the night. Who is this? Tell us about
this
lady.
Yes, well, Robbie Michaels is sitting here flashing away. Robbie is a dear friend and a fabulous photographer, so everybody can go to robbiemichaels.com and find her as well. And then we have Miss Donna Dickman, who is a world...
Is that a real name, Donna Dickman?
World famous
publicist.
I'm going
to write that into something.
Donna Dickman has done publicity on many, many, many major films in her career, among other things.
She's on the Academy. She votes for the Academy. She's a big deal.
Dirty stories, Donna? No. Okay. Well, that's where your mic is.
No, she wants to keep working.
That's why her mic has been turned down.
Only Pepe can tell the stories. He's not working anymore.
She's a publicist. She wants to keep working. Yeah. Publicists can't tell their dirt.
Okay, so Pepe, you were in a couple of other bands. You were in Barnaby Bye, which we've already heard a little bit about, and a band called Balance.
Right, Balance. Balance has a great cult following in Europe as well. We were in 1980. We had a top 20 hit called "Breaking Away," which I believe we're going to play. Your listening audience, that was a big hit. That was a nice record for me. And I guess what people don't understand is that, you know, I was so lucky to be a singer-songwriter all these years. I really did do many, many jingles, some of which are the quicker, thicker, picker up.
That was you?
That was me. Wow. And the chocolate is scrunchious when it crunches. That's why I love Nestle Crunch.
Okay.
And then you got get your ski signed up, grab a stick of juicy fruit. This gonna move, yeah. I did that. But the great thing about those things is that they ran for like 10, 15 years, you know. So you do all the different arrangements on them. I went on vocal contracts on all those things. So I really had a great jingle career.
Hey, honey, isn't AARP after you now?
AARP is after me to do a major story.
They're just after me to join. But anyway, so we're going to hear Breaking Away.
Okay, we're going to hear Breaking Away. This was Balance's hit in 1980. Hey.
Yeah, you can cut.
Okay, we're back. So that was Breaking Away, and that went to number 20-something, I think.
I think, yeah, 22-something, maybe?
I did my research, although not all the research you do is really successful, because I found out that you were born in Illinois by checking on the Internet. And where were
yeah,
you
that's a
from?
Misnomer. I don't know where somebody got that.
Where were you from, actually?
I was actually born at the Fifth Avenue Flower Memorial Hospital, a few blocks from where we're sitting.
Wikipedia, get on the case there and fix the balance page.
Yeah, they got bad.
It's off balance. It's
but if you look at most of the Magoo stuff,
you'll see I was born and raised in New York.
And didn't you meet some guy in the band in a boot store or something?
In a boot store.
That's also what it said. Some guy in the band was like, you found him in a boot store buying boots. Do they make all this stuff up? Is any of this true?
Yeah.
I'm going back to the makeup stories.
I kind of remember something like that.
You're going to give him the boot if he doesn't have an answer.
Most of the guys, I met Ronnie and Ralph, who were original, up in the Bronx.
What about the drummer? Did you meet him somewhere?
No. The drummer got pulled in by Mike Esposito, who was our guitar player. And Mike and Jeff were both from Delaware.
Did they find him in a shoe store? Did he wear shoes? Is any of this true?
I don't know that. And another one is like the Easy Rider thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You can read that all over the place that We Ain't Got Nothing Yet was an Easy Rider, but I never saw it in the film. So we get a good one on that.
And then sat down the other night and watched the whole movie and was deeply disappointed.
I don't know if it laid on the editing floor or something, but we didn't get that one. But I will say that I have read that bands like Pink Floyd were influenced by the Magoos and stuff like that. And
none of you guys jumped off a mountain, right?
You read that?
No, but one of the Pink Floyd guys. Didn't
oh, one of the Pink Floyd? Oh, no. We used to give our roadie. Oh, that was Barnby By, wrong bed. We used to pay our roadie to slide down a mountain and we were on the road.
What were you doing to these
but
people?
But the Blues Magoos
were
had...
Were you abusing your employees?
No. The Blues Magoos had electric suits.
Electric suits.
We had electric suits.
Wasn't that in an Elton John song? We got electric boots or electric suits or something. Reddit and Benny and the Jets. There was something like
Benny
that.
And the Jits.
Did
is
you
that a bulb in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me?
Did you? That's the trench coat.
She's always
that's
good for different. Something.
That was his early band. But did you inspire Elton John?
I hope so, but I doubt it. Well, he inspired me, actually, when he came out. I was floored by him.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when he first hit, I was like, wow, Milton. You know. But, all in all, it's been a good ride. And like I said, the Magoos are back.
It's been a good hour, anyway.
It's been fabulous. We're down to it already, huh? Yes. You want to hear a new Magoo song on the way out?
Well, we're going to hear my song on the way out. What are you doing here?
Oh, yeah? Okay, well, we can do that.
Six people that have heard it.
Tune in for when Psychedelic Resurrection comes.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
My baby.
Really?
So don't you just love it?
You have anything else to promote before we get out of here, Marianne?
I just want to promote me.
A good time. How about a good time?
What are you going to be promoted to?
NaturalSoulCosmetics.com.
Go buy some cosmetics, folks.
Yeah, go buy some cosmetics.
I want the people at my parties looking better. So all of you come down to our next event at Hudson Terrace with Marianne's makeup on.
Woohoo!
There you go.
Maybe we'll set up a booth at a party and have you do some makeup.
I must say, as a power couple, this is our first joint interview.
And after this, I'm going to have to smoke a joint.
And then we had a good time. We enjoyed
it. It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Hey, okay, stereo.
Wait, what's going on? Are we leaving?
We got
staying?
A few minutes, right?
I don't hear my closing music. What's happening?
Play
that damn song. There we go.
Okay. All right, you have been listening to the Andy Troy Show high atop Lexington Avenue.
That's me throwing my voice.
Andy's a man of many talents. Andy, I just want to say this has been a fabulous hour. I think you're probably one of the greatest interviewers I've ever met.
Today.
Can I borrow $500?
Yes. Okay, we're gone.